For most of you, this is a summer loaded with new and mostly exciting experiences. Even now, many of you are packing boxes and arranging schedules, getting ready for yet another move. This time, to a real church with real people and a real study with your name on the door, complete with a new title right there in front of your name. Others of you, of course, are still unpacking boxes and discovering each day more new delights of having relocated into the tropics of the Midwest, just in time for the very best weather of the year. For you, the excitement may be wearing a bit thin, but the newness is still very much there. And besides, no one ever said it was going to be easy. And this new season of life is, after all, God-led, and so very good. Even those of you who are well settled and have no immediate moving plans, at least none that you know, you can still also appreciate the newness that summer brings with its changed schedule, its shifted responsibilities, and its hopeful promise of a new crop of students waiting and eager to be formed into pastors. With all of these new things, all of these good new things going on in our midst and all around us, it should be a piece of cake for us to jump on to David's celebration bandwagon and join in the new song that's being sung. You've got plenty of good reason for singing a happy new tune. God's led you to an exciting time, an exciting place, a privileged place indeed. You are where you are because you believe that, like David, you have been selected to walk a unique path, a path of lifelong, all-out service to God and his people. What an honor it is. And so you have reason to shout with joy. You've got reason to sing. The new song of the psalm should be on your lips as you wake each morning, as you greet the prospect of another new day filled with still more of God's blessings. You have been given good reason to sing. You should be Psalm 96 people, belting out God's new song out to the nations, far and near. The new song should be resounding out of this place to the distant corners of the world. It's vibrant. It's dynamic. It's jubilant. It's a new song. And you are new song people. But Pastor, what's wrong with the old songs? Too soon, David's triumphant, glorious new song parade grinds to a heart-wrenching stop. But this question in the mouth of a potential progress-phobic parishioner isn't half as daunting or half as damning as the question that screams out of your own heart, as your own flesh demands, "Hey, what is wrong with the old songs?" The truth is that instead of singing God's new song, you like the old songs. There's a bit of Bob Seger thinking at work in us all. You like to take the old records off the shelf and sit and listen to them by yourself. But it's not that old-time rock and roll that you're relishing. No, it's that old-time sin. You know it's true. When it should be God's new song that is filling your life and spreading out and resonating to the world around you, you so often find yourself singing instead the old songs. The old tunes are familiar. They're so easy to sing. And the words, you know by heart. Why, they're practically second nature. In fact, of course, they are first nature. And so without even thinking much about it or even realizing it always, God's new song fades off into the background and you pick up one of the old tunes again. You know the old tunes quite well, don't you? You've been rehearsing them for so long. They're almost part of you. There are so many old records that you can sing along with. The dissatisfaction and the complaining over your sorry lot in life, the woe is me record, is extremely popular and readily recognizable on our campus. And of course, so is the gossip record we hear from time to time. Less socially accepted, but every bit as prevalent, are the well-worn records. Records called greed and lust. You shock yourself sometimes. You shock yourself at the ease with which you return to those foul old tunes. You shame yourself. And there are, of course, also more sophisticated records like pride and self-righteousness. They aren't as bawdy and as obviously raunchy as some of the old tunes, but they're every bit as evil. Envy, suspicion, laziness, divisiveness, all the old records near at hand, ready, waiting to be played again. And you've got your favorites, and you like to sit and listen to them by yourself. You hear God's new song, and sometimes you sing along with his new song, but even before you get out the door, that new song has been left sitting in the pew, and you pick up one of the old tunes. It gets lodged in your head the way that a tune can do sometimes, and it seems to play in your brain all day long on an endless 8-track tape loop. Without thinking, you catch yourself humming along, mouthing the words. But it's not the new song of joy that you're singing. No, it's an old song of sin. And yet the new song never stops. You may take up an old tune, but God's new song continues always. It cannot be silenced. In the Word, the new song is proclaimed clear and true. In the sacraments, it rings out sweet and beautiful. It is God's song. It is perfect and pure. It is exquisitely, marvelously new every time it is sung. It is God himself who sings it, you know. It is his song, and he sings it. He sings it with all of its wonder and all of its glory. He sings it to you. To you. To you, the lover of old records, to you, the singer of old songs, he sings it to you, and the gift is yours. Yours, the forgiveness, yours, the grace, yours, the new song, yours, the gospel. The story does not change. It's always the same, of course. The facts remain rock solid and certain. But when the song is told, when the song is sung, it is new.